like has been said already, let me say it again. Merry Christmas, or Merry Christmas Eve. Title of this morning's message, Celebrating the Birth of Jesus. Celebrating the birth of Jesus, that's a joyous thing. Let's turn to the book of Luke, chapter 2. And today we'll be going through a lot of Matthew, Luke's, just a lot of the Christmas verses, the passages in the scriptures. But let's go to Luke, chapter 2. We'll start there. Luke, chapter 2. Celebrating the birth of Jesus, a blessed thing, it's a wonderful thing, a miraculous thing. We're going to read chapter 2, verse 8. We'll start there, all the way to verse 14, and then we'll have a word of prayer. So Luke, chapter 2, in verse 8, the word of God says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Let us pray. Abba, Father, thank you so much, Father, for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the greatest gift of all, your only begotten Son, that through him and only by him comes the gift of salvation. The free gift that cost Jesus everything. The ultimate present. And so, Father, I pray that all who are here have received that gift by simple childlike faith to be born again by the Spirit of God. Father, we thank you for your precious word. And Father, even now I ask your mercy and blessing upon me. Father, I'm so unworthy. Who am I, Father, that you would even have me and give me the privilege of proclaiming your truth? Father, hide me behind the cross. I am a pauper. I am a beggar. I am a nobody. But Father, I get to proclaim the greatest person of all time, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God in human form. Father, what an honor to preach the scriptures, Father. And so, Father, I pray that you give me wisdom and understanding. Father, thank you for the folks that made it out today. Bless us, Lord. May we truly be celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. And Father, Holy Spirit of God, we ask, have free reign, minister to hearts. Father, if there's any wayward soul who has yet to really trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, we pray, Father, even today they would be saved, truly, truly saved by simply believing, but also by rejecting everyone and all else, to trust only in the person of Jesus Christ and his finished work on Calvary's cross and through the power of his resurrection. We thank you so much for your mercy and goodness to us. Bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. The birth of Jesus Christ is a wonderful, wonderful story, a blessed and miraculous event. Of course, God gave mankind the ultimate gift. Of course, his only begotten Son, the Word of God made flesh, right? Became man to save us from our own sins. And God sent in this passage here, shepherds really just kind of minding their own business. But then an angel sent of God to proclaim to them. And then shortly after, the multitude of angels, the heavenly host, praising God for it. And truly the birth of Jesus Christ is a joyous, joyous thing. Look at verse 10. I know the angel is speaking to the shepherds, but really it applies to all mankind. You and I. Look at verse 10. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not." Of course, who wouldn't be spooked, right? Out of nowhere. Who? You see an angel or spirit, okay? And so they're scared. They're in fear. But of course, the first words are comfort. Fear not. And here's the reason why. For behold, I bring you good tidings. Good tidings meaning good news. But truly, this is news unlike any other news. This is good news from the only one that is good, God, right? Jesus is God. Remember when the rich young ruler said, "Good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said, "Why do you call me good? There's only one person that's good, that's God." Jesus, of course, is saying that he's God. That's why he did call him good. Okay, but good news from the only one who is truly, truly, truly good. The rest of us are sinners. Good tidings of not just joy, not just average joy, great joy. I mean, this couldn't get any better. Good news of great joy. And so the idea is like, wow, you know, if someone just tell you, hey, you want to hear some good news? Like, well, yeah. Now, this is real personal because it's not just good news. You know, sometimes I say, hey, you want to hear some good news? You know, and I got a raise. Like, well, good for you. I didn't get a raise. Okay, you know, and so now this is not just good news for the one that's saying the news. This is the good news to the one who's hearing it, right? And so good news of great joy. Now, this is who it's for, which shall be to what people? All people. So yes, the shepherds then, but even you and me and every person throughout human history. And so, wow, what's this great news? For unto you, who's the you? Not just the shepherds, it's the all people of verse 10. For all of us, and because of all of us, is born this day. Now, it's not, okay, it's not December 25th, okay, that's just the day that we celebrated, okay, but this is whatever the day it was then. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And so God wanted the shepherds to know about Jesus' birth, but in fact, God even wanted the shepherds to see it so that they can rejoice and celebrate it. Okay, don't miss the context here. So he tells them where the Savior is born in the city of David. That's Bethlehem. That's where David is from. Who is the Savior? Christ the Lord. That's Jesus Christ. And look at verse 12, and this shall be a sign unto you. You know, when you show up in Bethlehem, that's the context. How are you going to know which baby it is? Ye shall find. And so God is telling the angel to proclaim to the shepherds, not just the birth of the Messiah, but God wants the shepherds to see it. In other words, kind of time out of what you're doing. This is breaking news, really. We interrupt your life, Mr. Shepherd, for this breaking news that the Messiah is finally born in Bethlehem. And why is God telling them Bethlehem? So that they would go there. It's not just like, oh, okay, I'll keep that to myself. No, it's for them to go there. And so the idea is when they go there, you shall find a babe. And so God wants them to see it wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And how are we supposed to feel about that? How awesome is this news? Verse 13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, I mean, the angels were just they were just rejoicing. I don't know if they were all you know, probably not, okay, in my mind, okay, if I was making a movie, they'd all appear, they're like, hallelujah. I mean, whatever they're singing is probably not that, okay, but what I'm saying is they all appear and they're all rejoicing, they're all praising God because this is finally happening as prophesied. It's finally happening. Everyone was like, when is it going to happen? Now is today's the day. And they're saying, they're praising God for the birth of Jesus. We ought to as well, amen. They're celebrating it, and the shepherds are going to go see Jesus and celebrate that. We ought to as well. Glory to God in the highest. Everything is God's glory, for God's glory. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. That is amazing. God desires blessings, and he wants to bless us. He loves us. But we are separated from God with sin, our own sin. And this sin is that rift between us, that chasm that no man can cross. Everyone that tries to cross this falls right into hell. And that's the path that all men take. And God had to bridge that gap, and that's why he sent Jesus to save us. We can't save ourselves, and that's why Jesus had to come. That's why the whole Christmas story. And so it's pretty amazing because God tells through the angel, the shepherds, to go see Jesus, the birth, so they can rejoice in it. Angels are rejoicing, and so they can celebrate in it. Now, here's a little personal note myself. So even though I basically celebrated Christmas my whole life. Even when I was born, I didn't know what was going on, but my mom and dad did. You know, so my whole life growing up, I've been celebrating Christmas every year. But can I just share very honestly with you, I never truly celebrated the birth of Jesus Christ. That's a subtle but major difference between celebrating Christmas and celebrating the birth of Jesus. I celebrated Christmas my whole life, but I never truly celebrated the birth of Jesus Christ until July 1st, 2001. You've heard this before. In a hotel room in Los Angeles, that was the day I trusted Jesus and confessed him as my personal Lord and Savior, the day I got saved. Because before then, I knew, supposedly, that Jesus Christ had come, that He is God in human form, that He is the Savior of the world. And the world celebrated Christmas as a result of that, and I partook in that. But until that day, July 1st, 2001, I had never truly myself rejoiced in the birth of Jesus Christ. It wasn't until I realized that, wait a minute, it became personal to me. I had never truly been personally thankful that Jesus Christ came to earth. It wasn't until I realized that I was a lost sinner condemned for a devil's hell, and that if Jesus Christ hadn't come, not only will we not be celebrating Christmas, but I'll be going to hell. That if Jesus Christ didn't come to save me, not just mankind, but if Jesus Christ didn't come to save me, to be born as a human, to represent me, also a human, to live this perfect sinless life, and then die for my sins, and then rose from the dead to conquer hell and death, that if Jesus didn't personally come, I could not go to heaven. I would continue on my path and end up in the devil's hell. It wasn't until that day that the birth of Jesus Christ became not just a world event. It became a personal event in my life. Now, I was born, of course, as all of us are, literally pretty much close to 2,000 years after Jesus died. Okay, kind of rounding up here. But the idea is, in my life, in my testimony of my life, on that day, my life began in that mindset. Well, in the year zero, that was when Jesus was born. We celebrate Christmas, but the birth of Jesus in the year zero approximately, okay? And then in the 33 AD and a half, that's when He died. He rose again. And then fast forward to the year 1977, that was when I was born, okay? Oh, okay. And then in the year 2001, that was when I believed and confessed in that Savior that was born in the year zero. You know, and it became not just a historic event, which it is, but the birth of Jesus Christ became a very personal event for me. And here's the application I want to challenge us today. Not just celebrating Christmas, because there is a difference, you know, and I enjoy celebrating Christmas, the food, the family, you know, the friends, the paid time off, okay? I mean, there's a lot of nice things that I do like about celebrating Christmas. But sometimes it's easy to get caught up with all the festivities of Christmas than the reason behind it. And that's the person, Jesus Christ. And my friends, my whole life I celebrated Christmas growing up, but that did not make me a Christian. Just like you can celebrate Hanukkah, doesn't make you Jewish. Just like you can celebrate Chinese New Year, doesn't make you Chinese. Okay, I'm just saying, okay. And so celebrating Christmas doesn't make you automatically Christian. But when we look in the scriptures from the testimony of the shepherds, and then shortly later on in chapter 2, Simeon, this old guy, and then after that, Anna, this old lady, really old. Okay, when we see the examples in scripture, I want us to understand that when we truly, truly celebrate, not so much Christmas, but when we truly, truly celebrate the birth of Jesus, the way God wants us to, it is life-changing. Because why are we glad that Jesus came? We celebrate that He came. We're supposed to celebrate that He came. Are we glad that He came to seek and to save that which was lost? Are you glad that He came born of the seed of Adam, yet without sin His whole life? Are you glad that He came to live that perfect life and to be tortured and crucified for you? I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. But it wasn't until I got saved, believed and confessed Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. That goes hand in hand. When you truly believe in your heart, you confess with your lips. It wasn't until I did that, that the birth of Jesus Christ meant something personal to me. It wasn't just a factoid. It was etched in my heart. When we truly celebrate the birth of Jesus the way that God wants us to, it is life-changing. Why did Jesus come? We kind of read that in the opening when Brother Brandon read it for us in Matthew 1, verse 21. It said, speaking to Joseph, thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sin. Are you glad that Jesus came to save you from your sin? This is where the rubber meets the road. To truly celebrate the birth of Jesus and not just say, oh, I celebrate the birth, you know, hang on here. To truly celebrate the birth of Jesus, we must also believe why Jesus came, right? Right? To truly celebrate the birth of Jesus, we must celebrate why he came. Now, God wants us to celebrate it. God wants us to praise him for it. But the reason why Jesus came was to save us from our sins. Otherwise, Jesus is just, if he's not the Savior, he's just another baby. If Jesus is not the Savior, he's just another baby. And if we don't believe that Jesus came to save me from, or save us from our sin, then we cannot really be celebrating his birth. That's because that's why you can't separate the two. The reason why we rejoice is because, again, what the angel said to the shepherds, for unto you is born, and all mankind is born this day in the city of David, a Savior. Not just some baby named Jesus. Jesus is the Savior, God in human form, which is Christ the Lord. To reject why Jesus came, the reason why he came to save us from our sin, is to reject Jesus as Savior. And to reject Jesus as Savior is to reject the celebration of his birth. We cannot celebrate the birth of Jesus if we reject him as Savior, which was what I did my whole life. Well, I didn't reject him. I didn't accept him. I was kind of on the fence. I didn't accept him, which is still kind of rejecting, you know? I certainly didn't vote for him. Okay, I didn't choose him. I didn't put my faith and trust in Jesus. I knew about him, and like, okay, he's supposed to be the Savior, but he wasn't my Savior. And how can I celebrate the birth of Jesus if I reject Jesus? The Scripture tells us, "Not everyone that saith Jesus says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." And I think of the millions, in fact, I think billions around the world that every year at a time like today and tomorrow would be celebrating Christmas, calling Jesus Lord in the Christmas carols that we sing. We hear those Christmas carols in the mall, you know, in ice skating rinks, whatever the case is. I mean, this Jesus is called Lord, but no one seems to notice. We cannot celebrate the birth of Jesus if we reject him as Savior. When we truly celebrate the birth of Jesus the way God wants us to, it is life-changing. I want us to observe the shepherds here. We look at the shepherds first. They kind of work our way through the chapter. Let's go to verse 15. Let's keep going. And so verse 14, the angel tells him, the shepherds, that it's, you know, he's in Bethlehem. And then verse 15, what happens? And so the shepherds, and it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." The shepherds went to see what the angels had told them about, that Jesus is born in Bethlehem. Now this is huge, because this is probably where a lot of people miss the boat. The birth of Jesus never becomes a personal event in their life. It remains just a historic event. The shepherds wanted to see it for themselves. Like, really? He's born? Let's go. They wanted to see it personally. They wanted to make it their own story so that they could have something to tell, right? And it came. Now, again, I enjoy celebrating Christmas like anyone else. But if you're here today, I hope that you truly, truly, truly celebrate the truth that Jesus came for you. That's what I celebrate, that Jesus came to save me. And so this is what the shepherds meant to see it. And so they came. Look at verse 16. And they came with haste. Big deal. Like, hey, no, I still got another 4 hours of my watching my sheep. No. They dropped everything. Their day was interrupted because of the birth of the Savior. My friends, when you come to meet Jesus, when you consider Jesus and who he is, why he came, how much he loved you, how much he suffered for us, and the Holy Spirit of God is convicting us, may it interrupt our day. You remember the day that I trust most and not all are saved? What you were doing? We might have been doing something else. And then the Holy Spirit gave us no peace and rest because I knew I was lost in my sin. I was in Los Angeles there for work, and I'm kind of pacing around the room, I mean, there's no one there, just me. Just me. But I was kind of embarrassed because I had read in the scriptures that I was a filthy sinner. I'm kind of just fidgeting in my seat on the bed like, oh, man. And I'm there for work, you know, and I forget if it was before or after dinner, I was going to meet my coworkers or whatever the case may be, but I was, and God interrupted my day to save my soul. And trust God, by God's grace, that God interrupted your day, amen. Because, my friends, if God doesn't interrupt our life, you know where we're going? Straight to a devil's hell. Because you're born with God's wrath on us, because we're all sinners, all had come short of the glory of God. And so here, the shepherd's perfect picture of that. Their day was interrupted, but they were not upset about it. They had to go see it with haste. And like, who's going to watch the sheep? Oh, we'll worry about that later. Let's go see the Messiah, okay? And so maybe they took the sheep with them. I don't know. It doesn't say, okay? So but hook by crook, they had to go see Jesus. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. They see him right there. And when they had seen it, they had to see it first. It had to be their story. They made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. That's a wonderful thing. It's amazing because when we witness to people, you know, they might I'm sure they've heard them. Pretty much the whole world celebrates Christmas. Okay, celebrates Christmas. But to tell someone, hey, do you know that God became a man all those years ago to save us from our sin? Like, oh man, never heard that. Well, you're supposed to celebrate Christmas. You know, and look at verse 18. And all they that heard it, the shepherds could tell it because now it was their story, right? All they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. At one point in my life, I wondered. I grew up singing all those carols. And I used to wonder, boy, hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. And so I kept thinking to myself, that so there's this king out there. And I wondered about it because I realized I don't live like I have a king. I live like I'm the king. Well, mom and dad are the king until I'm 18 and I'm the king. Okay, I mean, that's kind of what it hit me. I wondered about it. And as you wonder about the Christmas story, i.e. the birth of Jesus, don't just wonder about it like everyone does when they are told by the shepherds here. Don't just wonder about it. Decide upon it. Receive Jesus. And my friends, if you have the story in you, by God's grace, God wants us to tell it. Let's keep going here. We're going to see the testimony of Simeon. Fast forward to verse 25, same chapter, Luke 2, verse 25. Now, this is speaking about Simeon. So this other individual, again, when we celebrate the birth of Jesus the way God wants us to, it's life-changing. It's life-changing. It doesn't just happen on December 25th and then goes back to how things was, you know, on December 26th, okay? It's life-changing. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, very God-fearing man, waiting for the consolation of Israel, Israel to be reconciled to God, the comfort of Israel that's through the person of Jesus Christ, the Savior, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. So no doubt he is a man walking in the Spirit of God, a very God-fearing man, a godly man. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. That's a wonderful promise. His whole life, I'm assuming in this context, that he wanted to see Jesus Christ, the Messiah, be born. I mean, he really believed that God would save his people, and that's wonderful. But he would always think, oh, Lord, it would be so nice if I get to see the Messiah in my lifetime. And now he's older. In fact, he's quite a bit older. But God tells him, your prayer is going to be answered. You're going to get to see the birth of Jesus. Well, not the birth, but newborn baby. You get to see baby Jesus. You're going to get to see the Messiah before you die. What an answer to prayer, but that was his heart's desire. He just wanted to see Jesus. He really believed in the Messiah, okay, as far as God saving Israel. But boy, it would sure be nice if I can see the Messiah. And look at verse 27. He came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus, by the way, my friends, he wasn't at the temple then. In fact, when you study Simeon, he's probably... It doesn't quite say that he did the circumcision. He may or may not have done it, so he might not even be a priest. The idea is the Holy Spirit led him there at that time, okay? And when he came, he was led of the Spirit of God. the only way anyone comes to Jesus is when you are led by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, you don't have to say, Holy Spirit, are you going to lead me? He wants to lead you. That's the good news. Because Jesus says that he's going to depart. He's going to ascend. When he ascends, he will send the Holy Spirit that will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness, okay, and of judgment. And the Holy Spirit right now on planet Earth, since Jesus sent him, okay, ever since then, the Holy Spirit is convicting and reproving all of our hearts towards Jesus Christ. So we don't have, yes, we can only come to Jesus by the Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit is convicting all hearts to Jesus. So we don't have to say, is he convicting me? Yes, or he is. The question is, do I yield? Do I yield to him so that I can be led by the Spirit of God to Jesus Christ? Okay, so that's the picture here. He is led by the Spirit to Jesus. That's the only way any one of us gets saved. But it's the if is on us, whether we yield or not. The Holy Spirit is convicting all men's hearts to Jesus. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus, talk about timing. He shows up at the temple. Mary and Joseph bring Jesus to get circumcised. Like, oh, talk about timing, divine appointment. Brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, this is the Messiah. He says, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. I said, oh, I've seen baby Jesus now. This is all I wanted to see. It's on his bucket list. All I ever wanted to see baby. I didn't have to. But all I want to do is see baby Jesus. That's a wonderful thing. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. All people, yes. But he was privileged to see baby Jesus. That's a wonderful thing. But his whole life really just evolved around wanting to see the Messiah. When we truly celebrate the birth of Jesus, it's not just a one-day thing. It's an all-life thing. Because we're always, well, if you're truly thankful he came, we'll always be thankful he came, right? Not just one time a year. Now, here's one more testimony here. Now, this is Anna, the prophetess. Let's go to verse 36. Fast forward now to verse 36, same chapter. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age. Okay, so she's super old. Bible said it, not me. Okay, she's really old. And had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. In other words, just she's been not very long married. Okay, 7 years from when she was betrothed to the husband. Now, she was a widow of about 84 years. And so she's either 84 years old now, but really from the context of how they describe her age in verse before this and this, it sounds as though she's been a widow for 84 years, okay? So, I mean, again, it doesn't really matter. All that, we know she's really old, but she might be even older than what we might even think, okay? So if she's been a widow for 84 years, she's been married for 7 years, and then she was betrothed at, I don't know, 18 or whatever age. I mean, she's over 100, okay, possibly. Or maybe 84. Either way, she's super old, okay? But look at this dear lady, which departed not from the temple. So she was at church all the time, okay? She was always at the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. That's amazing that she wasn't a burden to God. She was a blessing to God in serving him. And my friend, doesn't matter how, by the way, side note, doesn't matter how old or how weak or however what we are, we can always serve God with fastings and prayers. Praying up to God, praising him, and then also pleading, oh come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. Okay, and so just come, come, Lord Jesus, come. And guess what? Verse 38, and she coming in that instant. And so she also, now she wasn't led per se of the Holy Ghost like Simeon was. Simeon had to be, of course, because he wasn't typically there. But Anna, she was already there because of her faithfulness. She was always at church. Okay, she was always at the temple. So if there's anything going on in the temple, she was going to see it. She's going to be there because she's always there. She's never absent. She's always there. And so it was inevitable that she would see this happen because she's always there. And so she came in that instant. She saw baby Jesus, same thing, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord. Oh, glory, Lord, hallelujah. I knew you would send your son to save us. I knew the Messiah would be born. Just so excited. I mean, the shepherds, Anna, Simeon, they were so excited for the birth of Jesus. In fact, she was so excited, she couldn't help telling everyone. Look at this. Likewise unto the Lord she gave thanks and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And so she could tell all the other Jews, saying, you know, we've been praying for the Messiah. Yeah. And you saw him. Like, whoa, he's right here. He's born. And she's telling, because everyone else is hurting. Everyone else is pleading for God to save him. Everyone else is waiting for Jesus to come. They don't know it's Jesus, but they know it's Messiah. And everyone else is waiting to be redeemed because they're living under oppression. Times are hard. You know, life is tough. Okay, whatever the case is. That's how it is today. That's how it is today. If we really, really rejoice in the birth of Jesus Christ, we ought to be telling other people that the Messiah is here. The one that can save us from our sin. We can't separate the two. We cannot celebrate Christmas but reject Jesus as to why he came. That's the reason why he came. That's why we ought to be celebrating. And again, it's only through confessing and believing in him. Not through baptism. Not through confirmation. Not by joining a church. The church is the body. Jesus saves us. And he saves us once forever when we believe in him. Truly believe, we confess with our mouth. One more example. Let's go to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. Again, the other part of the Christmas story. Matthew chapter 2. And we kind of read some verses already this morning during the service. But let's go to chapter 2, verse 9. These are the wise men. And just to put in the time frame here, this is actually maybe up to a couple of years later. Okay, because if you know the story, they came. Herod was really, he's a bad guy. And Herod was really upset that word on the street is there's another king in town. And This world ain't big enough for two kings, okay? So he wants to kill this new threat to his throne, Jesus. Of course, the wise men come and they say, you're going to worship him. We follow his star from the east. And then he says, oh, really? You're going to find Jesus? I want to find him too. Can you tell me where he is so I can worship him? Fingers crossed. He just wants to kill him. Okay, so we know this story. And the wise men come about possibly a year or two later. But what's so amazing is even though they come a couple of years later, even though we might come to Jesus a couple of thousand years later, the application is the same. So let's look at verse 9 with me here. Matthew 2, let's go to verse 9. It says, and when they heard the king, that's Herod, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Not a baby anymore, not in a manger, not in a stable. The context shows evidently they're still at Bethlehem, but maybe moved into some kind of a rented apartment home. And so when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down. And what does it say that this is huge? Worshipped him. Now remember the first commandment, the Ten Commandments, the first one, thou shalt have no other gods before me. That God is a jealous God. And God told Israel, God told Moses, you don't worship anyone else but me. If you worship anyone else but me, it's idolatry, and God hates idolatry. False worship of graven images, worship of false gods. The wise men here worship Jesus, and my friends, that is not idolatry, that is fitting, because Jesus is God. They worship Jesus. Jesus received worship because he is God. He's God in human form, and so we ought to worship him. If Jesus was not God, this would be sin and idolatry, but he is God, so this is proper. And so they worship him. And when they had opened their treasures, they come to celebrate the birth of Jesus, the person of Jesus, they presented unto him gifts, gold, mostly thought of that because of his king, because he's a king, you give gold to the king, frankincense, which is used for worship of God in the temple, because Jesus is king, he's also God, and myrrh. Myrrh was used for a couple of things, for two reasons, to anoint a priest, but also to embalm the dead. And Jesus was both. He was our high priest that brings us to God, that reconciles us to God through the sacrifice of himself. And look at verse 12. And so they come to Jesus, they celebrate his birth with gifts that they give to Jesus, because of course, the greatest gift is Jesus Christ back to us. Okay, the least we can do is to honor him and to praise him for it. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod. Herod probably, Herod hates Jesus. And Herod hates all who follow Jesus. Herod was probably going to ask them, now, where did you find him again? What address was Mary? Okay, now I would kill him. Okay, Herod would probably just get what info he wanted and then get rid of him. Okay, so God warned him in a dream, don't go back to Herod. He does not want to worship Jesus. He's lying to you. They departed into their own country another way. But it's a good application here in tucked away in verse 12, because when you truly have a heart-to-heart encounter with the Messiah, my friends, you cannot go back the way you came. You can't go back. Your life has changed forever. It's changed forever. Even the words that we sing in our Christmas carols that maybe just play on the radio just almost randomly, if you ever stop to wonder about those words, when we truly celebrate the birth of Jesus, it's life-changing. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. Is having a new king in your life, would that change your life to have a king? It should, right? If we receive that king. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. If you are reconciled to God, that means your sin has been paid off. And there's no more gap between you and God. Is that life-changing? Well, yeah. Absolutely. If you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. One of the songs that I love singing, We Three Kings, it says, King and God and sacrifice. Is Jesus your king? Is he your God? Was he your sacrifice? King forever, ceasing never, over us all to reign. Friends, the carols that we say, I mean, you think of the word, this is life-changing. It's not just one day a year. This is your whole life. Oh, come, all ye faithful. Who's that song for? The ones who are faithful. Have faith in Jesus. Those who have faith in Jesus, come. He wants to bless you, but come, let us adore him. Come, all ye faithful. How do we come to Jesus? Joyful and triumphant. We come joyful because he has redeemed us. We come triumphantly because he has saved us from our sins. That's amazing. All these words, and even in the Christmas carols that we sing, they describe a transformed life. One of my prayer partners on Tuesday, we do a phone call thing with other, I do this with different pastors, and Pastor Larson in Wisconsin, Wabino, but he was saying, today they're having a Christmas program with their kids. Okay, they have a little Christmas kids program. But guess what? None of the parents want to come. It's just they don't mind. They're happy to send their kids to partake in the Christmas program, but none of the kids' parents care to come. You know, they got kickoff at noon or whatever. And it's so sad because maybe the mindset of a lot of people is Christmas is kind of for kids. Just like a lot of the Bible stories, Daniel in the lion's den, the flood, the parting of the Red Sea, these are just fairy tales. It's just kid stuff. My friends, this is the Word of God. And I'm so thankful that Jesus Christ came to save my soul. But that's the mindset that plagues a lot of us today. Everyone celebrates Christmas, but for the wrong reasons. If we really, really celebrate Christmas, more so than Christmas, if we really, really celebrate and rejoice in the birth of Jesus Christ, it will change our life forever. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Abba, Father, we thank you, Lord, for your grace and for your mercy. Thank you, Father, that you sent Jesus Christ, that he came all those years ago to be born a helpless babe. But Father, that you protected him from Herod, and you worked mightily through his parents. And then as Jesus became of age at 30, he started his ministry. He left the family business to be about his father's business. Father, what a tremendous testimony we have here in the gospel accounts. And then according to your time, he was arrested, mocked, scourged, tortured, and crucified, humiliated in no fault of his own, that he was the lamb slain for our sins. But praise God that he rose from the dead. And to all that would confess in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, you've promised to give us eternal life, the forgiveness of sins, only through Jesus Christ. Father, we're so thankful that Jesus Christ came. We're so privileged to celebrate his birth, but may this truly be a personal thing for all of us, not just a historic event, but a personal event in our lives that we've trusted in Jesus Christ. Bless this invitation to come, every head bowed and every eye closed as the piano starts.